Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord. And by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we could be used of God to be a blessing. We certainly pray everyone had a very happy Thanksgiving. And I hope that you've gone through your life and seen what you have to be thankful for. I think too many times in this life we try to complain and find out what we have to be ungrateful for. But you know, we live, as far as financially speaking, I know it's not spiritually speaking, but financially speaking, we live in the greatest time there's ever been. We have more free time, we have more things. That may be one of the reasons that we've turned away from God is we're so focused on our entertainment, we're so focused on our free time, we're so focused on what we want to do, that we've forsaken the blessings of God. I've known people that went through some very hard times growing up and in their life. I know my grandparents did, and certainly my great-grandparents did, and the little bit that I got to see them in my life. But, you know, they looked out in life and were so thankful and grateful for everything they had. Yet there's a generation that's come along, my generation included, that's come along at, you know, we have so much, and yet we're so unthankful. We have so many opportunities, yet we're so unthankful. And it's sad that we're that way. We have more complainers, and we have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot of blessings to be thankful for. And when we stop being thankful for what we have, we usually lose what we have. I mean, that's the way of history, if you study history. And so we need to be appreciative and care for what we do have and be thankful for it instead of thinking, well, I deserve more. We need to be thankful first for what we have. And the more thankful we are and the more we take care of what we do have, the more blessings that follow. But if we forget that lesson, we're going to repeat the mistakes of the past. And we're going to lose the very blessings we even enjoy today. And I pray that we see that, and I pray that everyone is truly thankful, especially if we're saved, that we're thankful that we have salvation and something far better to look forward to. We finished up last week at verses 1 and 2 of Romans chapter 12, and today we want to turn to Romans chapter 12 again, of course, picking up in verse 3. I'm actually going to reread the first two verses and then pick up in verse 3, but I do want, before we do that, I do want to show my thankfulness to God and certainly ask for His blessings upon this service. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray as we come to You today in the name of Jesus that You would bless this service. Father, we have so much to be thankful for. I know I do. I have a good family to be thankful for. I have Your Son to be thankful for. I have the family of God to be thankful for. That, Father, even if we didn't have our natural family, we'd still have so much to be thankful for in the family we have through Christ. And Father, we pray that we'd appreciate church like we should, appreciate our church family like we should, appreciate our brothers and sisters in Christ like we should. And Father, all the opportunities and the blessings You've given us in life, help us to not take any of them for granted, especially the opportunity to be saved that You've given us freely to whosoever would turn by faith and belief upon Your Son. Father, we're just so thankful for what You've done for us, and help us show that thankfulness by how we live our life. And Father, for the good that is accomplished through it all, let us step aside and give You the praise, for it is in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen. So we come today again, Romans chapter 12. We're going to reread verses 1 and 2 and then go into verse 3. It says here in verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. In other words, what he's saying is sometimes as God saves us and changes us, We kind of get to this place, if we're not careful, that we think that we're better than somebody else. Listen, I'm not better than somebody else. I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm not greater than somebody else. I'm not more deserving of salvation than somebody else. You know, I was telling the church that I pastored not too long ago that I've had the privilege, and I want to say it that way, the privilege of being able to go and preach at some prisons at different times. I've gone to maximum security prisons before. I've gone to county jails before. And as God gives us opportunity, we might do some more of that as time goes on. But I told them one of the best services I ever had an opportunity to be in is the guards took me and put me into kind of a cell room, a big cell room. It was at a county prison, not maximum security. But they put me in a room. And I don't know the crimes that these men had done or been accused of. But anyway, I was there with about 30 prisoners. Somewhere between 20 and 30 prisoners. I don't remember the exact number, but I know it was in that range. And so I was there in there, and we had service. And I got to preach the gospel and share the gospel with them. And what still, to this day, one of the most enjoyable services I've ever been a part of. They were attentive, respectful, listened, asked questions. It was a great service. I enjoyed it. It was a blessing to me. I would love to go back and do it some more as God gives me opportunity. I know I can't forsake the things that God has me doing, but as God gives us opportunity, there's other things that we like to do. Do you know that those men in that jail cell deserved Christ just as much as I do? That Christ shed His blood as much for them as He did me. Now that doesn't justify their sins. It doesn't justify their wrong. Please don't take me wrong out of that. God certainly teaches in the Bible about believing in order, about believing in discipline, about believing in punishment for crimes and things of this nature. God has taught that through the Scripture. I'm not saying they shouldn't suffer for their crimes, but at the same time, they're sinners who need Christ. Just as much as I was a sinner who needed Christ. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll begin to think too highly of ourselves. And you know, I've even seen it in church before that, you know, some people think, well, I deserve to be the Sunday school teacher. Or God should call me to preach. I've seen some people try to put themselves in a preacher position because they think they know more or they should be able to teach others. Yet most of the preachers that I've had confidence in over the years, when they talk about the Lord calling them, they talk about how they didn't feel worthy. They talk about, you know, how they even argued with God and thought that there were better men out there. You know, Moses even... You go back and look at Moses when God was calling him to lead the people out of Egypt. He didn't think that that was a job that he was really qualified for. He even, you know, started to make excuses to God. He said, you know, I can't do this. I can't even speak well. I know how he feels on that. I didn't do good in speech class in college. I didn't. I'm nervous as I can be standing before people. God's helped me with that. Because I'm more fearful of serving God than I am anything of myself. And God's helped me a lot with that. But when God started calling me to preach, I certainly didn't feel worthy, and I still don't. And the only thing that can help me is keep my mind upon God. And remember, it's got to be His message. It's got to be His words. It's got to be His way. It's got to be His leadership of His Holy Spirit, not me. And even when I'm sharing Christ with people, we all have our thoughts and our opinions when we meet people. We all have our prejudices. And when I'm saying that, listen, I'm talking as much as there's some people who like blonde hair more than they like brown hair. There's some people who like dark hair more than they like light hair. There's all kinds of prejudices. There's some of us, we like people who like the same football team as we do. Same college that we do. Things of this nature. We've all got our opinions. We've all got our ideas. We even like the way certain people dress themselves and different things. And I certainly know that God has a standard of modesty for His people. But when we're dealing with lost people, that's a different subject, isn't it? And I'm not going to lie on my part. God's had to help me some over time. You know, I see somebody and they look or dress a certain way, and I think, God, that they don't want to listen. And God goes, that's not your choice. Your job is to go share the gospel with them. If they listen, if they don't listen, that's between them. That's on them. Your job is to share the gospel. There's sometimes God reminds me, He says, you remember some of the ways that you dressed at times? Do you remember who you were as a teenager? Do you remember some of your attitude? Do you remember some of your conversations? Remember what I did with you? What can I do with them? And if we get too high-minded, we don't want to share the gospel. We get too high-minded. We get lifted up in pride instead of humbled by the grace of God. Again, that living sacrifice. Sometimes we get lifted up by our position, don't we? Well, my job's more important than this person over here, so I'm more valuable. You ever met somebody that believes that? I had a conversation with a politician one time, and his attitude was, well, I do this great thing. And what he was saying is, my view on this and my opinion on this is better than yours. That was his attitude. And I can tell you, when I found out that attitude, I've never voted for the man since. Now, I'm not going to call out his name. I'm not trying to pull anything political. But there's people out there that say, well, if I hold this position, if I do this good deed, then I can get away with certain things. I can do certain things. Because of who I am, the position I have, the family I come from, whatever it might be, the money in my bank account. And listen, that's not just one-sided. I've met people that are poor that say, well, I should be able to sin. I should be able to do this because I have it harder in life than some people. Let me tell you a little secret. It doesn't matter how much money you have in your bank account. Life is hard. It doesn't matter how little you have in your bank account. Life is hard. It's hard for everybody. Well, it's not as hard for some. Let me tell you this. What did the Bible say about rich people getting into heaven? They trust in their riches, and they may trust in their last name, and they may trust in the political power that they carry in this world, and they say, well, if I have this down here, certainly I'll have some pull with God. And you don't. Until they see their need to repent. And I tell you what, I'd rather be poor and see my need to repent than be rich. That doesn't make rich evil. It's not the being rich that's evil. Job was a rich man in his day. Abraham was a rich man. The thing is, they did not trust in their riches. David was a rich man. Dear friend, we got to see and get past all these lies of this world and the conforming of our minds to this world and get past all that and see who we are. Because trust me, there are people that try to justify their sins because of their poverty. There's people that try to justify their sins because of their wealth. There's people that try to justify their sins because of some job or position they hold that they esteem to be greater than somebody else's. And they forget who they are. We need to remember who we are. I am a sinner saved by grace. I'm not worthy of that. I'm not more deserving of it than anyone else. And neither are you. God doesn't owe you any special favors. He's already done everything He needed to do for you. and allowing Christ to come and die for your sins and being raised again the third day for your justification. That if you would turn by faith and believe upon that promise by faith, God will save you. But there's some people who think, well, God's got to do something special for me. God's got to show me some sign. He's got to talk to me audibly. He's got to perform some miracle for me. Who are you? How high-minded are you thinking you deserve something special? If you're going to be saved, you're going to be saved because you believe it by faith. You believe upon Christ by faith. Not by sight. Not by miracles. Not by some special sign. By faith. And you're not deserving of anything special above anyone else. And we that are saved need to remember these things too. We don't need to be high-minded. We don't need to think of ourselves more than we ought to think. We need to understand that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. All are equal at the cross of Jesus, aren't we? We all have to repent and believe the gospel. We all have to see ourselves condemned as a sinner deserving of hell for all eternity and turn by faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And after we're saved, that's a lesson we need to remember as we share the gospel with others. Not the standard we hold for our brothers or sisters in Christ. There's a clear standard in the Scripture for Christians. When we're dealing with lost people, we need to understand they're not to be held to that standard yet because they have not the Spirit of God to overcome the spirit of their flesh. We need to understand the difference between those things. He said, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office." And see, this gets to that pride factor, doesn't it? A lot of people stand up and saying, "I tell you what, I should be the piano player. I should be the song leader. I should be the Sunday school teacher. I should be the deacon. I should be the preacher. I could do a better job than this person." That's pride, that's arrogance, and that doesn't work in the body of Christ. We have to let the will of God to be done. And if we're fulfilling the will of God in our life, I promise you there's going to be things that God places in your life to give you opportunities to serve Him. And it's not always a position. And sadly, there's even some women in our day and time that are upset that God placed some positions that He only gave to men. Oh, that's sexist. No. Go read the Scripture. It's the order that God set up. You can go read 1 Corinthians chapter 11 if you want to. You can go read 1 Timothy chapter 2 into chapter 3 if you want to. Because trust me, chapter 2 is very important. And getting into chapter 3, that'll help you see some of those things. God has an order. And it's God's order, not my order, not somebody else's. And I'll encourage you to go read Romans chapter 16. We'll get to that and study before too long. But there were women that were very much a blessing in the church and have been throughout the years. And I uphold women in every way. I don't think there's a more valuable woman talked about or even person talked about in their value and role than you find in places like Titus chapter 2, Proverbs chapter 31, and things of this nature. God upholds women, but He has a place that they need to fill. And sometimes in the body, we don't like our place and we try to rebel against God. We need to be humble. We need to understand that if we fulfill what God has for us, there's great reward. But if we get out of our place, and again, I'm not talking, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm saying if I as a minister try to start telling the church what to do, I'm getting out, and what I'm saying is I try to force them, you know, on carpet. I say, well, I like this color carpet, or I like this type of window, or I like this kind of piano. And I start trying to force my will on a church. I start telling them who to call for revival. I start telling them, maybe even when I resign a church, I tell them who to call for a pastor and different things. I'm getting out of my place. It is not my job to tell the church what color carpet to have, or what temperature to set things on, or all these different things. It's not my job to tell the Sunday school teacher how to teach. Now, if he's teaching false doctrine, that's a different subject. But if he has a different way of going about teaching than I teach, I'm going to let God use him. If God's placed in there, if a deacon, in the way he goes about, as long as he's doing it according to the will of God and his responsibilities, I'm going to let him take care of his job and I'm going to take care of my job. I've got to do my job. And he's got to do his. And sadly, there's some times that we want to take somebody else's place or somebody else's position or envy their place. But we need to remember, not all members have the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. And in this he named several different things. Ministry here isn't talking about actually a minister. The ministry there is, you know, there. You think about the lady in Acts chapter 9. I can't remember her name right offhand. But she took the ability to make clothes and make coats and things, and she was giving them to the poor. That was a ministry, a work that she had doing for God, wasn't it? And sometimes she might have to wait on the next person that needed something. Sometimes she had to wait for another opportunity. Sometimes when we have different opportunities in life and different things in life, we have to be patient with it. Because that kind of thing isn't necessarily every day. When God gives us a gift in life and the ability to use that gift, sometimes we got to be patient with it. You know, I didn't pastor a church. I didn't get called, I should say, to pastor a church until I'd been preaching for over a year. Listen, I wanted to pastor a church 6 months in. I was thinking, you know, well, I've proven myself. I've been preaching now for a little while. There's churches without pastor. Why am I not getting called? You know what I had to do? I had to wait. I had to wait another 8 months. And then even when I started pastoring, sometimes you would see other churches and you'd say, well, I think that church should do this. And I'd have to stop myself and say, that's not my responsibility. I need to focus on where I'm pastoring. I need to focus on my job. I didn't get called to preach a revival, and I don't know how long it was. I'd been preaching 4 or 5 years, I think, when I got called to my first revival. And I saw other preachers, you know, come right out of the gate, and they would preach a revival, you know, within months of announcing their call to preach. But I couldn't sit there and say, well, churches should call me. I say, I got to wait my time. All honesty, a lot of those things have changed. I was 21 when I surrendered to preach, 23 when I started to pastor. Going on the mission field and different things, and trust me, on the mission field, things don't work at the pace that you always want it. You'd like to see the small churches that you work with grow. At different times, we've gone and tried to establish new churches. There are times that you'd like to see things work out differently and work on your time scale, but God's got His time scale. God's got His way. We have to trust God. And we have to say, God, all I can do is what you allow me to do. And if I try to do more than that or less than that, I'm getting out of my place. And even a lot of times within the body, you might sit back and say, man, I study Sunday school, and man, I'd love to teach a class. And listen, wait. Learn to be patient. And it might be that God gives you that opportunity, or God takes your gifts and uses them in a different way. God's got a plan. And see, a lot of times we have to trust Him. Don't get me wrong, I know there's sometimes that churches don't listen to God. I certainly understand that and know that, but at the same time, we can't get out of order, can we? We have to do this thing the right way. And we have to let love, love for our brother and sister in Christ. If I don't think my Sunday school teacher is doing the best, you know what I need to do instead of complaining about him or saying I think somebody else needs to take his place? I need to pray for him. I need to do everything I can to encourage him and help him in every way. You know, we had a young minister come and be with us last night in service. And, you know, you can tell he's a young minister. He was nervous. Even after the service, we rode together, and he mentioned he didn't feel like he got the message across. And I said, one of the things that you need to understand, preach what God gives you. And don't add anything to it. Don't take anything away from it. Just preach what God gives you. And I said, sometimes when you feel like you've made your biggest mistake or you didn't accomplish everything you wanted to accomplish, I said, sometimes you'll see God bless in it. I said, we just need to preach what He gives us. And if you'll have confidence in what God will give you, I said, you'll be fine. But we need to love without dissimulation, even amongst preachers. We can't say, well, I wish I was at that church, or I wish I had this opportunity. We need to be thankful for what we have. Godliness with contentment. Preachers, we need to be examples of that. We need to be thankful for what we do have. One of the best pieces of advice I ever got when I surrendered to the ministry and when I got called to my first church is a preacher came to me and he said, you pastor it like it's the last church you'll ever pastor. And what he was telling me is that you don't desire to go to anywhere else. If God moves you, that's one thing. But if you try to move you, that's another. And he was saying, you pastor it like it's the last church, the only church, really, at that point, that you would ever pastor. And I had people come to me not long after that. After I, you know, the Lord had blessed in a few things, and I had some preachers come and hear me preach, and they had confidence, and I had some tell me, said, won't be long, you'll be at a bigger church, won't be long. And I told them, I said, if I'm going to be at a bigger church, I want it to be this church growing. I said, God has me here. This is where I want to be. Until God shows me different, I said, this is where I want to be, because this is where God has me. And I felt that way ever since. We're not to envy one another. We're not to look down upon one another. We're not to think high-minded of ourselves or to get to feeling we're better than somebody else. We're to love and pray for one another without dissimulation. We're abhor things like covetousness, envy, pride, selfishness. We're to abhor that because that's evil. And we're to cleave to that which is good, which is loving my brother and sister in Christ. It's praying for them and loving the lost souls who are without Christ and praying that they will repent and trust in Christ before it's too late. That's what we need to do as Christians. That's what God would have us to do. And we need to pray for that to be accomplished. I pray that this could be a blessing, encouragement to those of you that are listening. If you'd have anything upon your heart, any way God could use us to be a help or a blessing, we want you to feel free. Our number is 601-544-7920. You can write us, Brandon Hartfield, 8 Smith Drive, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 39401. You can also email us, our email address, brobrandonh@aol.com. That's brobrandonh@aol.com. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll take this message, use it to Your honor and glory, and for the good that is accomplished through it. Let us step aside and give You the praise, for it is in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen.